Hello there, friends. Before we dive into today's podcast episode, I want to share with you something that I'm really excited about and something that I am a part of that is taking place in just a few weeks in August, and that is the Boss Project Summit. It is a virtual summit, so you don't need to travel anywhere, and you can access 25 speaker presentations all for free. It's quite amazing. So Abigail and Emily behind Boss Project Summit put together this amazing 3-day event that is going on, and it is all 100% completely free. All you have to do to get access is register at shedidithereway.com/BP as in Boss Project Summit. Again, it's /BP Summit. Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started. Hello, my beautiful She Did It Her Way listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I'm so excited to welcome back alumni. I don't even know if you'd say I would call it. Alumni sounds weird. It seems like we're back in college, but I've got Abigail and Emily from Boss Project, formerly known as Think Creative Collective. I'm so excited to have them on the show. We're going to dive into, it's been a couple years since they've been on the show. Yeah. We're going to dive into talking about, they're going to share a little bit about like how they started and their journey. And then I'm going to link to their first episode, but we're going to spend a majority of the time talking about like their massive growth that they've had. They've also gone through like brand name, like just a whole business name change. We're going to talk about, you know, what inspired that, sort of challenges that they've experienced going from six figures to multi six figures to where they are today. And then also the other thing that we're going to talk about is their amazing virtual summit coming up in just a few weeks. So it'll be, I believe it's going to be in a couple of weeks once this podcast airs. So we're going to spend some time and, you know, talk about that. If you've never heard of a virtual summit. I know when I first heard of them years ago, I was like, wait, what is this? You mean I can go for free? Like, this is crazy. So anyway, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let Abigail and Emily introduce themselves. Welcome to the show, guys.
Well, we're excited to be here. I'm Abigail.
And this voice belongs to me, Emily. So we'll see if you can tell the difference throughout the episode.
Yes, I love it. Well, okay. So let's pretend that no one's ever heard of you guys, and which is probably not possible, but let's just pretend for a second. And let's pretend that they did not listen to the first time you guys came on. So tell us a little bit about like, how did you guys meet and how did it all start?
Yeah, so we met online, like any classic couple these days, except we happen to be business partners, not partners in life. So,
is there a difference?
No, there's probably not. Minimal. I mean, my husband and I met on Coffee Meets Bagel, so it's true. You can find your way.
Yeah, so it can happen. But we met in a Facebook group and fell in biz love and started what began as a marketing and branding company and ultimately transitioned into an education company, where we've been blessed to serve women from all over the world and help them grow their own businesses. And lately our focus has been shifting in kind of a new, not necessarily new realm, but just like a more focused realm to help y'all who have this desire to take your business full time. Because
we serve.
Yeah, we want to help you make money and do this in a way where this could be your full-time focus. And so it's been a really fun ride to get here, but that's
because it's been how many years now at this point? You guys started,
I think four.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. Four from our business together. And, a decade of doing creative work and going out on our own and figuring that out. So yeah.
Yeah. And you remind me too, because I know we did talk about this in the first episode, was you guys started out, creative services. I don't even think I should say how long into the creative services, because I think it was pretty quick that you guys were like, yeah, no, okay, we're going to now move from creative services and shift into this like online digital realm.
Yeah, it probably felt quick in the TCC realm, which we were Think Creative Collective at that time. But we had been doing creative work solely for years. Abby was in the creative industry working for various corporate, big companies, startups, et cetera, getting laid off and kind of navigating that journey. we're both art majors, and so we've been like living and breathing creative work basically our entire lives. And then I had, you know, been out on my own. I say like started on my own, but it was because I literally couldn't get any other job since graduating college. And so we had been doing that for 5, 6, 7 years before even meeting each other. And so to us, it didn't feel quick because we had been working with clients for almost a decade at that point, doing lots of work, really figuring out, like kind of hammering out that service-based industry in and of itself. And I think like when we got together, I had already gotten the taste of education, and I had sold a course literally once before I met Abby and convinced myself that like this was the thing. And I truly loved like being on that side of the fence. Education has always been in our background. We both really had a desire to be college professors, and that like we just quit and didn't pursue that. But so like teaching and gifting knowledge and sharing behind the scenes and really walking people through stuff is both, you know, what inspires us and what we both really enjoy. So I think it was like a natural transition, but fast for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and you guys like today, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So at what point, so you guys have Think Creative Collective, you guys also have an amazing podcast, the Strategy Hour, and you guys started working together. Then you started building out education. Let's fast forward and talk about like at what point in the journey do you feel like in the 4 years that you guys have been doing this that you like look back and say, okay, that's, you know, that's a point of massive growth. And then also talk to us about the decision to change and go from Think Creative Collective to Boss Project.
Well, I think we've been on hyperspeed the whole time. No part of our journey has been slow. Not that we couldn't have slowed it down, but that was just the kind of attitude we had about our business and where we wanted to take things. And so it was only natural that we would grow fast because we were ready to grow fast. And we had the mentality and the mindset and the willingness to do the work to get us there.
And there were two of us. So yeah, like, it was easier to do that.
Absolutely. But in terms of like why make the change and why adjust our name after so much time? I mean, first of all, if we're just talking about logistics, our name is really long, or it was really long. I think Creative Collective, I mean, not that it's hard to spell or anything, but you add on anything to that for an email address and it's like forever.
It's extremely long.
And so we wanted something that was a little bit shorter, mostly because it's easier for people to type. And I know that sounds like a goofy reason, but I think it started the conversation. What ultimately ended up inspiring Boss Project was this desire to have people focus more on the mindset, because we can dish out strategy all day long. We can talk about marketing and what you need to be doing to sell inside your business, but if you're not willing to do the mindset work around being a boss and being in charge of your company, it's really hard to see growth. And so we kind of thought of ourselves as always a work in progress, hence the project part. Mm-hmm. But also there was a desire to change a little bit of direction inside of our business. And this gave us an opportunity to really call it out. And that was that we wanted to share the stage, so to speak. Not that we were tired of teaching by any means, but we had acknowledged that we don't know everything there is that you need to know to run a business successfully. And so we needed to be able to call on our friends and colleagues and peers and even people you may have not even heard of before, but have this like amazing skill set that needs to be shared. Mm-hmm. And so having the ability to share the stage is what we call it, really. But doing the name change along with that kind of change in mentality and how we run our business, I really kind of gave us the momentum that we needed to call that to attention properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, was it, like a quick decision once you guys came to it? Was there any hesitation? Were you like, oh man, like what if this, I don't know. I mean, where was the headspace at? Or was it like a definitive, like, nope, this is it.
I think we talked about it for like 2 years. We didn't have a name in mind. We just thought, you know, someday if we land on one, it'll make sense. And then I actually started Boss Project as a creative outlet. So I started an Instagram handle to call to attention other creative entrepreneurs. And I had done it for a summer and kind of put the project on the back burner. And when we decided to do our first online summit, it only made sense to us to call it Boss Project. And so we named our first summit that. That was kind of our like launch into the world to see how people would respond to the name. People were really receptive. And so a couple months after that first summit, we officially changed our name.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like just being able, having that like idea for 2 years and then being able to test it and to see like what people are resonating with. What are some like challenges that you guys have also experienced? So aside from the name change, just like internal operations or maybe personal like mindset blocks or anything, like as you've guys grown your business, what are some hurdles and successes or challenges that you've run into that you can share? Like when my listeners,
how much time do we have?
Girl, I have no more interviews after this. So it's really, how much time do you have?
Listen, you know, business is wild and it's strange being in business for 4 years. It's strange being in an industry that's still relatively new, that doesn't really have like a full set of rules on like, this is how you have a successful online business. There are so many people doing things in so many different ways and succeeding and not succeeding. And so it's almost feels like every day you're kind of making it up. And you're kind of just like, what do you want? What's realistic for you? What does your audience want? What does your business partner want? Like there's so many different things at play. And so I think like the thing that's been, I guess, the most surprising for me throughout this journey is that like you can reach what we considered really big goals pretty swiftly. Like the reaching our first six figures like was really easy. And we teach our students that it can and should be easy. Okay, then we got there and then we doubled that and that felt like relatively easy or quick. And then it was almost like hitting a brick wall after that, where it was like, oh, I kind of thought that this continuous growth would be easy and like keep happening and keep flowing to us. And it just gets different. It's a different set of rules when you're, you know, less than 100K, when you're at 200K, when you're at 500K, like everything is so different. And there's just so many little hiccups that happen along the way that I wasn't quite expecting, but that we're still navigating and learning.
In terms of like specific challenges, I mean, I think as you grow, there's a lot that happens both operationally and with your team that can, a learning curve for someone who hasn't necessarily been a boss of someone else. And so I think for a long time, we told ourselves that we weren't good bosses, like to other people, not that we couldn't run our business, not that we couldn't make money, but that we weren't a good.
Oh yeah. We said that to ourselves for like a year. Like we've said we're bad leaders and we're bad bosses. Like we're not good at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was, gosh, that mentality was hard to break through. And because of that, I think we hired some wrong people. And then we hired some people that we thought were going to do things for us. It's all a learning curve. Now, did we hire some incredible people and then they're ultimately no longer with our company because they wanted to do something else? Sure. Like, absolutely. I'm not saying every hire we've ever made has been wrong, by no means. But that has definitely been a challenge, figuring out how we bring the right people into our business. if you guys have ever read the book Traction, they talk about the right seat, but also the right, what's the phrasing?
It's like it's a question of asking yourself of every team member, do you have the right person in the wrong seat? Do you have the wrong person in the right seat, or any kind of combination of the two? So you might have an amazing person who can do better things on your team in a different spot, and you're just not realizing that, or it could just be the not a right fit, but that spot needs filled.
Right. So,
and learning that, like, and still learning that, I think is so, it's so difficult. And I think that more really than anything else, I know a lot of people, especially in the beginning, get hung up on, and rightfully so, like the mindset issues around selling or charging or getting your name out there and whatever. And we were so far past that. So for those listening, like if you're still in that, trust me, like it does get better and it does get easier. Like the more that you do it, that's almost like a layer of mindset issues that is so far down the tunnel for us now that's not even a thing anymore, but it just opens up new ones. Right. And when you're talking about bringing on other humans into your company, in your business, like learning all of these different love languages and personality traits, and like, how do you receive criticism and how do you give it and how do you lead and how do you delegate? Like that is an entire like learning lesson in and of itself that we still haven't mastered. But it's interesting. One of the quotes that a mentor of ours, a coach of ours last year, I think she said it earlier this year to us and a group of people. And I have it literally written on a post-it note still on my computer, because it's one of those things that like kind of got me in the gut a little bit. And if anyone listening is like us at all, in the sense that you're a high achiever and you like to set really, really big, almost unrealistic goals for yourself, but then you start to tinker at them and you like actually start to reach them. And so they get even bigger and more outlandish, and you want your business to do really big things for you in the world and have great impact. Like that is us, like 100%. We want all of those big wild things. And she sat down with us and she said, I need you guys to like recognize that having a $10 million business might not be the best way to make $10 million. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I had been living for 4 years or more, convincing myself that if I want these really big goals to be reached financially and otherwise, that it has to come from this business. And I'm pouring all of this energy into making those things happen through this channel. And like to have one person come in and be like, hey, you can still reach those things. Like that's not the part that might be wrong here. Mm-hmm. It might not all come from this channel.
Right. And so I think because of that shift, even though Emily and I love each other and this business isn't going anywhere, we both have, you know, taken a really hard look at our lives and like, how are we wanting to lead it outside of this business? Mm-hmm. And that's meant, I mean, both of us have other businesses, mm-hmm. like, and they're important to us because they're another vehicle to grow our wealth in our family unit, mm-hmm. and
our identity and creative outlet and like so many things. Like, I think the lesson maybe to take away, if you don't have a business partner, which I know is super rare for people to have, but like having, you know, it's kind of like having all your eggs in one basket, right? But not only financially, but also to fulfill you and your creative energy and your soul and all of these things. I have learned the lesson now to really explore and try really hard to diversify how I get fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I had my mic on mute, this is so funny, and I'm just going to leave it in here. But there was a time I put in a work order for my kitchen and then I heard a knock and then I put it on mute and I was like, I'm on an interview. And then I just never took it off. So that's why, if you guys saw me like in the video, I was like yelling something. Let's dive into that, because I like one thing that I've been observing, not only just with myself, but just been really curious about, especially in the interwebs, is that our businesses can be and have the potential to be so close to us that it becomes one, right? And for some people that works really well, where their name and their face is the business. Mm-hmm. And then for some other people, they're looking at it completely different, being like, my business is my business. I run the business. I own the business. I scale the business and I lead the team that does it. But that is not my identity. And so you had touched on, Emily, like finding different ways in terms of identity and like what else you guys are doing. So I would love for you to shed some light on like, you know, after your coach had said that to you, what were some of the ideas that really came to play? And then how are you, like, what are the actions that you guys are taking that you're finding that's helping you get that clarity?
I think first and foremost, we had to separate our identity from our business because it was starting to become an unhealthy relationship, mm-hmm. not necessarily with each other, but like literally with the business. So if the business performed poorly, like,
and like our version of four is a lot different than other
sure, absolutely. But like if your expectations are not met,
sure.
then all of a sudden you like feeling like you're less than, or feeling mm-hmm. like you're not doing your best, or feeling like there's just so much left to be done. And it was really eating at us both mentally.
Yeah.
And so having to figure out, like she mentioned, kind of diversifying where we got filled up. And so I think little things, I know for me, like I started prioritizing my health, like far above my mm-hmm. business. And I, for a lot of people, they'd be like, why would you put something that doesn't make you money above the thing that makes you money? And
you have to be healthy yourself to be able to make money.
Well, yeah. And if I'm not the best version of myself, I can't show up in the best way in my business. And so, you know, I'll push interviews because it conflicts with my workout, or I take longer breaks for lunch so I can make a real meal. And I say no to more things than I did before because it conflicts with how I want to live my life. And that's been freeing, but also incredibly good for my health. Like to be able to say, you know, 6-7 months later that I've lost 50 pounds and am now like running and exercising on a daily basis. Like I was borderline killing myself, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. I was well on my way to 300 pounds and I felt awful all the time and I was in a lot of pain and it was affecting how I was able to show up in the world and serve other people.
Yeah. Well, congratulations too, by the way. It's been amazing just to like follow your journey and so inspiring to be like just inspired by the journey and like putting yourself out there. And I think that's a reminder too that like we all are going through our own journey as well. And there's also life outside of business too.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
But I know Emily has been like gotten her hands dirty. Like it's mm-hmm. been really creative for you.
Yeah. I was on a journey for about a year before I heard that quote from our mentor of trying to figure this out. The question of who am I outside of this business, outside of marriage, outside of motherhood, outside of whatever, like what do I do literally just to make me happy? And for anyone listening who is obsessed with Enneagram as much as I am, and if you're an Enneagram 3, you have probably been told to do this often, is to find something to do just for the sake of doing it, not for the purpose of it serving anything else. And that is still a struggle for me because anything outside of work, I tend to make some sort of challenge or another business or whatever, right? Make it mean something more than what it is. But sometimes recognizing that doing that as in making something else a business also makes me happy is part of that journey of figuring that out too. But I picked up my paintbrushes after a decade of literally having them collect dust in my basement from college. I started working with clay. I've started just like breathing, right? I'm taking my daughter to a museum later today and just like finding stuff to do that's outside of just sitting in here and doing work. Mm-hmm. And that feels really good, to have that to look forward to and to have that to kind of take my mind off of this, because anyone who owns their own business or is their own boss knows that like constantly your business is running through your brain at all times. Like there is no clock in or clock out. Mm-hmm. I have found the only way to turn that off is to direct your attention somewhere else. So maybe you're painting, maybe you're running, maybe you're cooking, taking cooking lessons. Like you can still be learning and doing and exercising your brain, but I want it to find a way to kind of quiet that noise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know that one thing for me too, like another creative outlet is like wanting to start just like blogging about personal stuff outside of just business. And I kind of had this decision of like, okay, do I do it through She Did It Her Way or do I do it through her way? And you go through this dialogue and I'm like, selfishly, it's like reassuring to know that you guys also like had these dialogues too. And so I think if we're having them, a lot of other people are having them as well. Yeah. And that was the thing when She Did It Her Way, like even something simple as like Instagram, I was like, do I personal or do I, you know, She Did It Her Way. There was a time with She Did It Her Way handle, I changed it to Amanda Boleyn and changed my picture, but then it just started to feel, I was like, I need to have this separation of like, this is business. This is life. Like ultimately I want to scale it. It's not just going to be me running it. And yes, maybe I'll be the face, but it's, I've got to have my own, like there's so many other things that I love talking about that I want to share with the world. And I'm like, if I'm not going to do it and She Did It Her Way, then how can I bring it through my own personal
hands? Well, and I think that was easy for us to figure out since there are two of us. And so I think like if everyone listening kind of takes it like that, almost like your business is your business partner and like you wouldn't share like, you know, pictures of your kid or your dog or your meal on your business partner's Instagram or with them. So that to me is your cue to like have a personal identity somewhere else. There's, you know, we're not going to get into like Instagram of like also being personal within your company profile. Like that's a whole nother strategy, but like there are people who do it really well. But I think for our space, because there are two of us, it was very clear and really easy for us at the beginning to decide to have separate profiles. But I also think like taking that step further, even as your own boss, of just like, what do you want to share just for the sake of sharing? Like stop thinking about your grid and like just post something. And so if you need that freedom on your own account, do that.
Yeah. I know now there's going to be so many different like, I don't want people, if you're tuning in thinking like, okay, I need to separate my business. And
no.
Like you just have to make that decision for you and know that like, yeah, if you want to keep it together, keep it together.
If you find yourself stressing about what to post, like both personally and business, because they're intertwined, then I would consider opening up another one just for fun, like doing something just for fun. I think I took like a year and a half off of Instagram posting literally just for fun. Cause it was just one of those like, well, we just posted this and we talked about this and what would make sense to, you know, throw in here. And I was so over it.
Right. What's the 3x3 look like?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I posting every 2 minutes?
No. Exactly.
It gets a lot. Yeah. And like one mistake I made is I made it that like, oh my God, Instagram and the vanity metrics. And it's like, okay, the more popular you are, the more money you make. Wrong. No.
Wrong.
Nope.
So wrong.
Like, so many other like nuts and bolts that have to be in place in order to like generate revenue. And there's like millionaires out on Instagram that have less than 2,000 followers.
Oh yeah.
It's crazy. Any other thoughts on that before I shift to the next question?
Well, I would just say do what feels, you know, authentic for you. I think if Boss Project had been just me for whatever reason, I would have just made it all one thing and talk about whatever. So I wouldn't be afraid to be yourself in your profile or whatever. But at the same time, I thought there was a niceness to starting over. And I mean, spoiler alert, Emily and I have literally even thought about starting the Boss Project Instagram over just to start over.
Ooh.
Like, I know that sounds crazy. Like when we have 35,000 followers, but there's just something to think about in terms of what the freshness can do for you. Like I have more engagement and more conversations on my little dinky account that doesn't even have 3,000 followers. Mm. And then I do over on Boss Project just because our lives have changed so much. Like 4 years for one Instagram is a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like who knows who is still following that account?
Yeah. I mean, that going back, I'll have like more engagement sometimes on my personal account than on She Did It Her Way. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then you kind of like, you get more filled up by like the engagement, but I know, Tiger, for you to say, okay, we might start over and there's like 35, 39,000 people that are following you guys. To some people that's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? But then there's like Tiger Woods was at the top of his golf game when he decided to get a new coach. And everybody was like, wait, what are you doing? You're at the top of your golf game. You won all these awards and like all these things. But he decided that like anytime you change or you do something bold, like, yes, there's always going to be a dip, but ultimately you're going to go higher than what you were before.
Yeah.
And it's like, take such courage to say like, you know what, let's start over and let's do something different. Even like going from Think Creative Collective to, you know, boss projects. So
yeah. Well, and I think that's the biggest slap in the face of vanity metrics ever, of like, if we have 30, 35, I think it's like closer to 37 now, 37,000 followers on Instagram that aren't like there for what we're putting out right now and are right. impacting our revenue, then that literally means nothing. And so starting over and like getting people right now to make the decision to be a part of our community, I think is a big benefit.
Yeah. And some like having a more engaged email list that are the right people versus just having a large ass email list is like,
Well, and frankly, like this is something I could talk about all day long too. And Abby and I were just talking about this yesterday. You know, it's always funny when you're just starting out or you're just kind of picking up momentum and your Facebook group has like 2,000 people in it or 500 people in it. And the same thing with Instagram and your email list or whatever. And you look at all of these other big companies and you're like, oh, they have, you know, 60,000 people on their email list and 36,000 over here. And then you think to yourself like, okay, that's going to open up doors for me. Like just basic math, right? Of conversions, right? If I'm having this many people open and this many people converting, et cetera. And you start to grow and it starts to happen just like it did with us. And then what you don't realize though, are that different shifts also start to happen where it, just because the numbers are a lot bigger, like the conversion rate dips because there are so many more people.
Yeah. The math,
the engagement, right. The engagement dips because there's so many people. Algorithms change, Facebook, you know, behaviors change, people, you know, interacting in groups or pages or Instagram, like all of that just changes over the course of years and just how social media works. But what's funny is that, you know, now that we're sitting here on literally tens of thousands of people, it is harder, in my opinion, to interpret their behaviors now that there's more of them than when there were like 200 of them or 2,000 of them, because it was so much more evident on like who are the key players and who is speaking up in this smaller group. And we can actually make an educated business decision based on that engagement or feedback or whatever. But when you have so many people and then you have like this group over here that's saying stuff, you'll find another group the very next day that's saying the exact opposite because there are so many people. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really difficult to then rely on like what your audience is saying to make good business decisions. Mm-hmm. So that has been just like a huge, like, okay, we can't rely on that like we used to. Like in the old days, we could literally ask a question in our Facebook group, get such great response and be like, here's what we're going to run with. And it would work. And now it's just not the same now because there's so many people.
Well, not only is that the case, but I also think when you hit a certain point, you can make business decisions and then attract the people you need.
Yeah.
Mm.
And just run with what feels right, which sounds weird, but I mean, I can pay to reach pretty much any audience I want to in the world. I didn't have the luxury or the budget to do that in the earlier stages of my business, but now, I mean, cash flow gets to a certain point and it doesn't bother me that I have to sometimes pay $1 or $2 or $4 mm-hmm. a lead to come into my business. But if they're the right kind of person, it's so worth it to me because I get the ability to touch more lives.
Mm-hmm. So there's the marketing and then you had mentioned Facebook groups. So you guys have Facebook, you guys have your like free open Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And then you have Facebook groups. What other Facebook groups do you guys have?
So at this point we have one large one. We had a pop-up group for a program we started over the summer that probably is going to go away. And then we have a couple paid Facebook groups. So they're part of paid programs.
The group is free. It's like a bonus to the program. Like,
right.
Pay exactly. to be in the group necessarily. Mm,
exactly.
Got it. What's been your experience with Facebook groups? Has that ever, I know some people like go in between of like shutting them down, keeping them open. Is it fruitful? I mean, again, everybody's experience is different. I know some people like that is a massive lead generation for them. And for others, like it's not as much.
Right.
I mean, I think it has been in the past. I think in the past, it's been a great community builder for us and for our business and allowed us to really get to know our audience on a really deep personal level. As the group has grown, it's interesting to me that more and more people are less and less aware of the fact that we run the thing, which sounds weird, but even though we're there and even though we're moderating and even though we're showing up, they're new and they don't know much about our business. And that being said, I still think we're one of the best resources out there for creative entrepreneurs to ask questions. Yeah. So even if it's not fueling our business, it is giving them a platform and a community, and the engagement is strong for helping others in that community. So even if it's not a great sales tool, it's a great community builder for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think like paid groups are shifting. The behavior in paid groups are shifting. I know it's been probably for sure this year. I think it started late last year where some other course creators were, instead of a Facebook group, were doing like a private Slack channel for their students. And at first I wasn't really that familiar with Slack at the time. I do understand it now, but, and I freaking love Slack.
Yeah.
But at the time I was kind of like, why? Like Facebook is just so intuitive and you're already on the app. Like, why would you introduce another app? And I get it now. I still don't really know logistically if it would work better or worse, but we're getting to a point now. And I think not just us, but so many content creators are, who have a course or a program or education to sell. That piece of accountability is crucial. I believe so strongly in accountability. And when you show up and you help other people and you have the ability to ask questions and take things further, like, it is critical and crucial to your success if used properly. Mm. The problem is that those channels of what people say that they need in order to succeed, a lot of course creators are providing that. And then no one is actually utilizing those services. So like, they're not really in the Facebook group. They're not tagging. They're not asking questions. They're not posting. They're not, you know, commenting on threads that are there to be helpful in their course material. And so it leads a lot, not just us, but a lot of course creators to be like, okay, well, but I created this and you're here and you're not using it. So I think there's still been about a year and a half of questioning of like, what is the best solution to provide really good accountability so our students do succeed and they see results, but that's actually useful to them and for us. Yeah. And I don't know if Facebook groups is still the answer for that.
Yeah.
It used to be a lot. Like our first couple courses in those groups, I mean, they were popping and like people were just there all the time and asking questions and showing up. It's just different. People are using Facebook completely different now than they were 4 years ago. And that's going to happen. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
No, it's a very interesting observation. I've had some experience with Facebook groups. Like we have Her Way Community, which is the free one. But I wonder if it's also a shift to like people are wanting more of like a hybrid, like if they're willing to pay. I mean, you guys probably definitely have way more data than I do for sure. If they're willing to pay like a more premium price to get more hands-on. Because that is the one thing that I have a coaching program now that's 6 months. And one thing that I found is that we have a Facebook group and we stream the calls through the Facebook group, but the week one and week three are all teaching. And then week two is solely like co-working implementing. So I found that it's helpful. Like if you actually, in my experience, like having those co-working hours, almost like they're like, it's predictable to them.
Yeah.
They're more likely to show up. And like, that's the hour that they get the stuff done. But I don't know. I mean, it's something that I'm contemplating with a course that I'm getting ready to like beta test and launch and, you know, seeing like, yeah, what is like a method that is really strong? Because like, great, like it's awesome. You spend money purchasing a course, but I know as a course creator and for you guys, like, and anyone who's listening that has clients and has like courses and stuff, it's like, yeah, the money's great, but ultimately the reason why you're doing it is because of income and impact. And if people aren't like, how do you get people to hold like the foot to the fire and like implement, like if you just do what you're saying and it works.
Yep.
And then also there's also the piece like, I learned through like management and working at Target and with leaders, like in contracting work is that, you know, sometimes you can only take people so far and they ultimately have to have the internal desire. Yeah.
And that's the lesson we're trying to learn. A good friend of ours, Tyler, posted something on Instagram the other day or a couple of weeks ago now that something, Abby, do you remember exactly what it said? Something about,
well, basically it was like, you're not responsible for other people's results. And that was kind of the main gist of it. Tyler McCall was talking about, there's been this constant, like almost people using it as a marketing tool. Like you're going to do X, Y, Z and you're going to like, this is your tangible takeaway. And he's like, who cares? Like you, and not that he doesn't care about results, because he cares so much about his community, but he's like, you don't know what is going to be an impact for them. Well, they can come to one call one time, and for them, that was worth the cost of the program.
He's saying some people, just the act of buying the course is enough motivation for them to then take their business seriously. And then you did your job. And so like, that was really eye-opening for us to be like, okay, we don't necessarily know what their impact is. We know what this can provide for them. Because it's proven system and it works and it follow it, blah, blah, blah. But like, I physically can't make you go through it. And so if you're here and you've invested and now you're taking your business seriously, and maybe you're going to go through this in a year and you're going to have an aha moment, I still did my job.
Yeah. Right. Well, and it's so interesting because in the time we've worked with students, we've had businesses start and close. A ton of businesses start and close. We've had businesses double, triple, quadruple in size, and then people go back to a full-time job. Mm-hmm. We've had people like grow their business and now they're like nose to the grindstone and they don't necessarily need our help. And I mean, and all of the above, like there's so many other things that have happened for them, but we can't hold on to that.
Who's
like
to deem one of those is better than the other, and that's what they should be going through.
Yeah. Like I know I can think of several students like in particular, where if you were to hear their story from the outside, someone else might deem that as a failure or deem that as like they quit. But to me, like just knowing their personal story, I know everything they did was exactly what they wanted to do. And now they're like loving life more than ever, even though like that version is not what other people might see as successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you make a really good point. It's like, you can't just as much as you want it, judging someone else's pain or like comparing your pain to someone else's pain. It's like, you can't really compare your success to other people's success. And it all goes back to like, okay, all we can do is focus on ourselves.
Keep your eyes on your own paper.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like, I've learned like as a coach, I so badly want everyone to succeed, but ultimately letting go that people will show up and trusting that they're going to show up when they can show up, and like they might be going through something that I don't even know about. Right.
Yeah.
And just trust, like sometimes you just have to trust and act on blind faith. So, oh, I love it. Okay. I do want to talk about Virtual Summit, but before we do that, one thing that I did want to ask was, your team, like how many people are on your guys' team, and like, what have you found to click in terms of like team meetings or, you know, some sort of not hack.
Attraction.
Definitely read that book. I would say in terms of numbers, like it's shifted up and down a lot. Like we've had anywhere from like 25 people working very part-time to just a couple key people working nearly full-time or full-time. We've had employees, we've had, and I mean, everything in between. So, I mean, we've recorded, I would say, a fairly recent podcast about our team and what that looks like earlier this year. Since then, we've definitely made some shifts, but in general, we have someone helping with operations to kind of guide our day to day. We have a virtual assistant helping with our inbox management, and another helping with the podcast and our content. We have a designer, and then we have a podcast team, and then a slew of people helping us on the financial side. And I could go into roles and details, but I don't think that's important. I think what's important for you is identifying where you're at today and who are the key players you need to get to where you want to go. There are times and spaces in our business where we needed more help, not because we needed the help to grow. We needed the help to just sustain. Mm-hmm. And I know like right after Emily adopted Penelope and like right after my head injury, like we needed more help because we had to step back from our own businesses. Not that we weren't there, not that we weren't working hard, but we just didn't have as much time and energy.
Yeah, I think Traction, to plug this book one more time, we're not affiliated. I didn't write it. Love it. That book is so good. It was a game changer in us understanding the roles, how to outline the roles that are necessary for growth. There's a really good exercise in there that has you kind of map out, like mind map out your business of what currently, what current positions are needed or existing in your business and who is playing them, even if it's just you and all of those roles. And then what's kind of gaping. And I think for a long time, we felt like there was a bleeding hole. Like we need someone to fill a spot. We don't entirely know what it is. And it wasn't really until that exercise where we visually got to kind of see like the workings of our current team and what team we needed to work towards. And I think that that when you're in a certain spot in business where you're considering hiring multiple people, where you're outside of just like the one VA that's helping you, that exercise can help give you some guidance and give you like, okay, this is the position I need next. And then in 6 months, I'll get this person, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So read that book through those exercises, because that was super helpful.
In that book, they talk about the level 10 meeting agenda, and that's how we run our weekly meeting with our team. So I definitely recommend that if you have a team. I will kind of leave you with one bit of parting knowledge that I can say has helped us. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I felt like giving people specialized roles and having them do only one kind of work helpful. But as we've grown, I've actually felt like that was more complicated and actually took more time away by having, you know, five people doing, you know, five different things rather than having a few key people doing more. Yep. Not that they're going to be perfect at everything.
Right. Like, you're invested in your business. I would rather you spend money on people who like are in it for the long haul, care about your success and care about you as a human being. Like as long as they're teachable and trainable, like they can pretty much do anything for your business. But like we've had some people within our company who've been around for ages and their roles have changed or shifted or duties or whatever, but they're there for us and they care literally about like our mental health and our business and our students and our success. And that is just priceless. Yes.
So my suggestion, hire less, but just give them more.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much easier to run this.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, that Traction's come up like a handful of times the past like 2 months. So I'm going to take that as a personal sign.
Game changer.
If you haven't read it,
read it.
Okay. I actually bought the book 2 years ago.
And I had it for a while too.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, right now it's like, I'm a one woman shop. It's pretty early. Wow. I was like, I don't think it's ready, but now I think it's becoming, it's time.
Yes. Well, yes. Let me say one bit about that book, because if you read it, if anyone reads it, you're going to think it's boring and dry. The only thing that makes this book phenomenal is you doing the work that it tells you to do.
Yeah. There's a link inside of there where you can print off sheets and go through the exercises. Do that. Don't read it without doing that.
If you just read it, you're like, this is dumb. The moment you sit down and do the exercises, that's where the transformation happens. And that's where you see clarity in your business. So it's almost like, I mean, it literally is like a course in a book form.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to do it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, otherwise then it's just like passive action where you're like, although I am a high one on the Enneagram. So it is possible that I might geek out about it if it's about processes, systems.
And no, I think I geeked out about it. Yeah. Like I think most people will still find benefit from it, but because it is.
It's not like a fluffy self-help book. It is like a business X, Y, Z. Here's what happens. Manual.
These examples, like it's so great.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Okay. I know we're coming up on time here. So I do want to talk about the virtual summit that you guys are doing. And to set the stage, like I was saying before at the beginning, like a couple of years ago, I'm like, wait a second, what exactly is a virtual summit? And like, how does it work? And why do you get a ticket for free? And then what is it like, you know, from a business standpoint and all these things. So if you're tuning in and you're like, virtual summit, what is that? We're going to talk about that, but I'll have you guys share like, you know, when is yours and what's the premise of it and what is the benefit and the value and why people should at least like sign up to get the free ticket. and then really, you know, take the next step and invest the $47 to get all the content. So I'll let you
hear. Yeah. Well, what's a virtual summit? First of all, it is like a conference, but you
don't have to wear pants.
You don't have to wear pants. You can stay home on your couch. You're not buying a flight or a fancy hotel room. And that means you don't have to physically see other people, but you still get the same experience because you're getting in front of incredible people in this industry. But you also get the community aspect because we have a live chat feature where you not only get to chat with the other attendees, but you get to chat with the people speaking throughout the summit. And so a lot of them will be there to answer questions live. It's all virtual, 3 days, all online. It is like an all day thing for 3 days. So like, block your calendar off, or at least block the pieces and that you want to make sure you don't miss.
Yeah. So this summit specifically, Boss Project Summit, it's round three. So we're super excited about that. 3 days, August 20th through the 22nd of 2019. So if you're listening to this like next year, there's been more, so calm down. It's basically from like 9 to 4 Central Standard Time. We have keynotes and breakouts. We've broken everything down into 3 days, revolving around branding, marketing, growing on social, scaling, mindset. Like there's so much good stuff in here. If you work with clients, especially, there's some really, really, really golden sessions for you on how to write in your client's voice. If you're a copywriter for other people, scaling a service-based business that's not typically scalable by either utilizing a team or, you know, being able to take on like a shit ton of clients, but how do you really manage that? There's stuff on Pinterest and Instagram and selling high ticket, service through like a phone call, like how to do all of those things. So, so amazing. We have 27 sessions, 17 brand new speakers. So we've brought back some alumni from our other sessions who people loved and people really loved their talk, but they're bringing brand new conversations. And so even if you heard them speak before, it's all new topics. There are sessions that range from like 45 minutes to an hour to about a half hour. Some of the breakout sessions do overlap. So we mentioned the investing into your VIP ticket. It's worth it to do that because unless you have 3 straight days of 9 to 4 and then sometime after that to watch the sessions that were overlapping, chances are you're going to miss something that you really want to see. So when you buy your, or when you enroll for your free ticket, you get access to everything, but it's only available for 24 hours. And so like, you got to like watch it same day kind of thing. But if you get your VIP ticket and upgrade, which you'll see that option once you enroll for your free ticket, it'll be right there on the thank you page. We'll also email you about it. It's just $47 before the summit starts. That gets you lifetime access to every single session. So we upload all of the keynotes and the breakouts inside of a course portal for you, give you access to that, give you access to like a freebie vault. So every single speaker who has a freebie below their video, we move them from below the videos and put it all on one page for you. So it's super easy to access. You also get an entrance into our really big giveaway. And I think now it's up to like over 20 people are giving something away.
That's amazing.
And we pull over 20 winners. So like however many items we have in the giveaway, that's how many winners we pull. So the chances are high that you're going to walk away with something. There are courses in there, books, one-on-one consultations, audits. Like there are some good stuff in there.
Yeah. So how do you grab your ticket? You're going to want to go to shedidherwaypodcast.com/BP summit. BP like the gas station.
Boss project. I know that's what I was thinking when I'm like, okay. But to add to that, because if you guys are tuning in and you're like, okay, I'm not, and I can't take 3 days off of work because most of you guys are working full time. You have like two different options. One, just like Emily said, you can decide if you want to spend the evenings at home watching and catching, mine, for example, airs on Wednesday at 9 a.m. You then have until 9 a.m. the next day to watch it. So you can like binge them the day of during the evening, or you can also just do the VIP ticket, which is $47 before it starts.
Yep. Once it starts, it goes up to $99.
Yeah. So I love it. It is just like, even though it's a virtual summit, it's just like a, you know, like a real live event where you have like, okay, get your ticket early bird or VIP. And then at the door, it's a little bit more, but yeah, check out the lineup, check out the topics. They're amazing. It's at shedidithherwaypodcast.com/BP for Boss Project. That's not on the gas station summit. And, yeah, you can sign up for your free ticket. And then if you want to decide like later or upgrade, you'll have the option to do that. Or if you're like, no, I'm in, I'm going to do the 47 right now. Yeah. That's awesome too. I'm actually doing a training on Corporate Cubicle to Sold Out Services. So one of the things that I'm really teaching in there, I'm going to share my story and part of it, just like my lead up, leap and land. But then also the two main things is sharing the Her Way method, which is a 5-step strategy to help you land your first paying client in as little as 7 days. And then also I'm getting really detailed and granular about your next 10 best steps that you can take when starting a business. And then also uncovering the 3 blocks that I typically kind of stump people.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know, but they like kind of stump people because some of the things that I hear is like, okay, I don't know what services to offer and I need to build a website and all stuff. So I go into that and kind of debunking these conventional wisdoms and these beliefs that we think that we need to have all these ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. But really it just comes down to like, it's not about getting it perfect. It's about getting started. And so I'm really excited for my session. I'm going to be there live, like chatting with you guys. So
I'm super excited.
I'm
really happy to bring it again to you guys because it's really fun putting together. It's really fun being a part of it. It is truly like a party that week. We block off those 3 days. We like, you know, Postmates food to our computer because we're like busy chatting way in the room.
No,
guys, and it's really fun, you know, and having a virtual summit, it feels like sometimes it might feel like, oh, there's just, you know, a bunch of webinars up or whatever, but we really truly ask our speakers, we like go through, you know, kind of pre-sessions with them on how to provide value, how to really, really give. And some of these people are doing it for the very first time, but we know that what they have to give is incredible. And some people are super experienced and we still make them do like a brand new training for you guys. So I'm really excited about that. And it's one of those things where, you know, nothing can replace the value of in-person events and conferences. Truly. We've spoken at those, we've attended them. Like it is out of this world. But I also understand budgets and I understand traveling and it's really hard. I'm a homebody. I love staying at home and I love hanging out with my kid and I love doing stuff here. Leaving is a really, really big commitment. And so I think the timing of year is perfect. We're like, kids are about to go back to school. We're starting into a new season, new quarter. It's going to feel really good to get this knowledge and arm yourself with it so you can, you know, take these lessons, take these videos and implement them in different ways in your business as you see fit throughout the rest of the year and beyond.
Yeah. I love it. I'm excited. Well, this has been amazing. Yeah. Thank you guys for coming back on the show and it's been fun to catch up and like talk just about, you know, your growth and team and changing the name and
everything.
I mean, logistically, I'm like, whoa, I couldn't even imagine like,
oh, logistically was literally the least of our problem. Oh, like that part was so simple. It was just like, do we want to do it or do we not?
Like, yeah. Like, is this a question? Okay. Well, you guys are amazing. I hope you guys, again, it's shedidithherwaypodcast.com/BP summit. You can sign up, snag your free ticket, come hang out with me on Wednesday. Otherwise, if you can't make it live, just know that you can DM me at shedidithherway and you can hang out with Abigail and Emily as well. But yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on the show and just remember, keep doing it your way. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidithherwaypodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.